heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
You know, I always get a kick out of the headlines and the stories that talk about the sea level rising. A headline I seen in a Virginia newspaper says, as Virginia Beach prepares for sea level rise, officials avoid climate change and punt on carbon emissions. Now, you're also hearing this, you're hearing it in all coastal areas. By golly, I'm even hearing stories where islands are disappearing. And, you know, and of course, Miami's another one. You hear that all the time about Miami Beach and Miami. But, you know, it stands to reason that when you look at all this, people, through just common sense and clear eyes, that, you know, the planet is a volatile, friendly kind of place. But you don't really know what's going to happen from one moment to the next, or one day or one month, one year to the next. You know, I mean, we have a history of millions of years here where the planet has evolved. Now, there's a reason you always see these kinds of headlines, and the idea is they're trying to train the public that there are some real problems here. And it gets into it as you look more at what's going on out there. There's a site I fell upon the other day here, greenmatters.com, Green Matters. I'm not sure if they really know that what that means, Green Matters, because they wouldn't have the argument up front if they really understood that if green mattered, you wouldn't want to kill all the CO2 emissions and the fossil fuels. You wouldn't want to change the entire environment the way you want to change it if green really did matter. So I've seen this, you know, how does the CO2 emissions impact the environment? You know, and it says, well, the amount of carbon emissions trapped in our atmosphere causes global warming, which causes climate change, symptoms of which include melting of the polar ice caps, the rising of sea levels, the disturbance of animals, natural habitats, extreme weather events, and so many more negative side effects that are dangerous. And although that's an interesting thing, you see the melting polar ice caps, and we've all seen those images now of the polar bears running around and not really stuck on an iceberg that has melted off of some, you know, piece of land, and it's just floating out there, and the poor polar bear doesn't know what the hell to do, right? He's stuck there. And we've all seen that as they push that out there and say, there's a problem. Now, the argument becomes this. There are two schools of thought here, people. You're either part of the group who don't give a rat's ass about what the planet looks like, and maybe you just don't pay attention to this stuff, and it doesn't matter to you, or you're so concerned that it's gone to your brain, and you've had an impact now from the global warming crowd, and everything needs to change. Even if man goes back to the early 19th century, you're willing to take that risk. There seem to be two schools here of thought. Perhaps we can add a third school of thought, yeah, maybe? And call it the common sense thought of just reality and put some truth out there so people truly understand what's happening. Now, listen, I am not an expert in this whole affair of climate change. You all know that out there as well. That's not the point. I'm not a scientist. I didn't study this thing. But again, I do have an enormous amount of common sense, and you know that if you've listened to me before. I do excel in the common sense, era. I have a lot of knowledge just from basic goodness of looking around and understanding and being able to do basic math, people. It's not real complicated when you drive down to it, you know? So this whole, back to this Virginia article here, Virginia Beach, preparing for the sea level rise, and officials avoid climate change and punt on carbon emissions. So right away, you can see the headline is tainted badly, and they're suggesting that there's a lot of ignorant people there in Virginia who are not paying attention to the polar caps and the sea level rise, and they're punting on carbon emissions, and they're not part of that other crowd there, you see? It goes on to say, for years they have worked to develop complex and expensive initiatives they hope will safeguard the city from some of the most worrying flood projections. sea levels, they're going to rise from time to time because we're not asphyxiated. This planet is not, everything's not glued in place. I mean, the water's going to change. The levels are going to modify. Things are going to happen. I mean, things always happen. Earthquakes and volcanoes and hurricanes. That's called weather. It's not a real new phenomenon. It's been happening here from moment one, right? Just the way it is. It's how it all works, people. And then I find it very odd, and I wonder if you find it odd as well, that the people that are always out in front boasting on how we are killing the planet and that we need to alter our way of life, right? Or we risk Earth burning up in a fireball of global warming and we'll all end up in hell real quick and fast, right? It's either that or they're on this channel about freezing to death, I guess is what I'm saying, because it keeps changing the argument of climate change and global warming. And it's all about confusing people, I think. And it's about that carbon footprint as well. Why don't we eliminate the carbon footprint and go back to the early 19th century? That seems to be the argument. But why is it that these people are always very wealthy people that have this conversation? You never see some poor dude on the street turn around and start talking, you know, worried about the sea rising and worried about global warming, climate change. Right? They're not the people that are worried because they don't profit by it. They have not, they just, and they've probably got other things they're worried about as well. But it's always, and I'm not even talking middle America or just you and I, regular folks, right? Like us, you know, we don't profit from this, so we don't go around with our hair on fire or the Chicken Little syndrome, you know? But why is it that it's always the very wealthy, wealthy people, private jets, they have a parade of homes around the world, lifestyles of the rich and famous, which is all good if you've earned it. Long as it ain't legal narcotics or something, we're good with that, man. Earn it the old hard-fashioned way. You remember the axiom there? It takes money to make money. Now, that would explain a lot of this, people, you know. Perhaps they see that this is a lucrative business opportunity. Yeah, just saying here, man, you know. It's what it seems to be to me, because this is nothing more than greed and avarice. It's what this is. This is just people that they know they can profit by putting fear out there and getting the masses to swallow the fear whole. Because if you really believe that the world is ending and we're all damaging it so badly, then you're going to do something about it. And of course, you can take that argument, people, and relate to just about everything out there happening today, including the current problem of defunding the police and the rest of the stuff. It's all fear-based, fear-mongering that's just thrown out there for the masses to swallow whole and see how many people will jump onto the wagon, right? And so we have a job here to inform people about what the truth is. That's our job. You know, another thing about these people I'm addressing with you, you know what I'm speaking about, that looking for the most lucrative business opportunities, there are often people who talk about a lot about the poorest people. You take the DiCaprio, the Leonardo Caprio, is it? That kind of a class of people. That's a perfect case of what I'm speaking about. I don't know much about him or his life, by the way, and I don't profess that I do. I don't follow the Hollywood elite at all. But I know that he is one of these supporters and has all the things I just described. And he puts it out there and says he's really concerned because it's going to take the rest of us down. But yet he continues to burn up as much. And then I get really confused because the whole carbon footprint thing becomes they keep using more and more and more of it. And yet they keep arguing against it. And they want to reposition this carbon footprint, but how do we really do that? Why is it so important? And I'm really even more confused with the people who don't believe in any of this, who continue to try to come up with every reason why that the carbon problem is not really a big problem. It's less than you think. But is there really even an argument to begin with? I mean, don't we even need some of this out there to make everything green and to breathe? It's what I understand. Again, and I'm not a scientist here again, people. But you see, there's an argument here. I'm confused with both sides, actually, the left and the right, with this argument here. And what's even more confusing is about the poorest countries that, you know, like how are these folks going to survive if we put all these restrictions in place and start to, you know, really change our lifestyle in the way that they are suggesting? How are these countries, you want to talk about, I mean, you know, the conversation we're having today with you, actually, The truth be told here, always, is a lot more dangerous than any coronavirus, for sure. Because what we're talking about right now will have such a, and that's just me talking now. I don't know what the others will think of when we get them on the program here in a moment, but I believe it is. I believe it's a lot more dangerous than any corona coming down the pike here because, you know, you see what's happening. What's going to be impacted is certainly all third world countries will be totally impacted by this. And the poorest of countries and the poorest of people will be mostly impacted, probably. You don't think for a hot second this is going to impact the DiCaprio fellow there, do you? I doubt it. Just buy a few more jets and buy a few more houses and do some other. I mean, they don't really care. This is just a business opportunity for these cats. That's all they're really after. So we have to convince people out here to know the truth. And it's a business proposition, the Al Gore thing. It's all a business proposition. People, they have gotten wealthy, really, really wealthy. It's like selling Amway. You know, remember the Amway product? You could just sign up for a climate change franchise of some sort. In fact, I think that's a business opportunity. We could start here and sell franchises. You know, the climate change hysteria, be a way to make some money. Got to capitalize on it, right? They're doing it after all. You know, the elite, they suggest that they're doing this for the betterment of mankind, for society, if you will. I don't see how that happens when their mission to send us all back to the early 19th century is going to help anybody out, people. It doesn't make any sense. Really, it doesn't. And so that's kind of where we find ourselves today in this argument, and it never really goes away. The argument is always out there when it comes to climate change. Now, I've got a couple of smart guys coming on the program today who know far more about this than I know, which is the only way I venture into these topics, is to have smart people around who know something about it. But again, looking at it like you and I through the lens of common sense, we would say that we can smell a rat here, and we want to know what's behind it. And we'll do that today, friends, on The Voice of a Nation. We'll pick it up on the other side of this quick pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So I think a good place to start, people, is the confusion of CO2 with pollution. And this gets into, you know, we talk about, you hear the words, or you should hear the words, the carbon footprint. You know, what does that really, really mean? Well, let me bring on a couple of gentlemen now to the program here and tell you who they are. And one voice you know for sure, you've heard him many times on the platform here, and that's Dr. Jay Lehr is here. He's a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition and the former science director of the Heartland Institute. He's a writer, columnist, and a great voice here at America Out Loud. There's also a new gentleman joining us for the first time today. Happy to have him on the air, and that is Terry Ciccone. He's a retired engineer who worked in the energy business for half a century. Ian Terry says, like many of us are, he's concerned for the education and future of our children and grandchildren. And that really is the lesson of why we do this here, why we try to inform people what's going on. Jay, take a moment and let's educate listeners, please, once and for all. When we talk about the carbon footprint and we talk about the confusion of CO2 and talk about pollution itself, let's keep it in good basic level terms and put it out there and educate folks the difference, please.
Well, they've got everything upside down, and it's really all about, you mentioned money, it's more about power. If you control the energy of the world, you control every aspect of human life. And they use the idea of a carbon footprint. They're really talking about how much carbon dioxide we use. And they've turned carbon dioxide into an evil when, in fact, it's the only reason that we can inhabit this planet, because we have the amount of carbon dioxide necessary to grow vegetables. And with the vegetables and green matter, animals can then survive and man can survive. So the actual increase of carbon dioxide, or what they're calling the carbon footprint, since the Second World War, the third industrial revolution, really, has been totally beneficial. We've gone from 280 parts per million carbon dioxide at the end of World War II to about 410 now, and it's all good. And they turn it around and make it bad. There's nothing bad about it. You mentioned sea level rise. We have physical evidence to show that for the last 800 years, sea level has been rising 7 inches every 100 years. And we have sea level gauges all around the world that show that over the last 100 years, that rate of 7 inches a century is still valid. There are not islands that are being flooded. There are not seashores that really need to worry. I mean, you worry about people that are dumb enough to build their homes on seashores, but they're really not. They inherently know there hasn't been a problem in their lifetime, and there's not likely to
but
be.
But Jay, hold on a minute here. What if they build it below sea level? I mean, there are a lot of areas on the coast that are well below sea level, and you take a big risk, you know?
Well, there are a few, but they're well known. There are areas. There are countries in the Nordic area where they dredged and created land below sea level. But in the United States, there are very few areas. We really don't have any coasts that are below sea level.
Is that right?
We don't have any at all. I think parts of Death Valley in California are below sea level. But no, our shorelines are fine. And while storms, the problem of living on the coast is you get storms and hurricanes that move temporarily the ocean level up to the point to ravage homes. And so that is the
right. That's a problem. What about Miami Beach? They're always talking about, I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of reports down there. They're so panicked about that area.
No, they have sea level erosion. I mean, there are environmental problems along the coastline. There's no question about it, but it is not a result of the actual ocean rising. It's a matter of erosion of the coastlines. It's a matter of storms and a lot of things that they're doing to make things worse.
Interesting. You know, one of the things that came to my mind as you were talking a moment ago, Jay, is that what I'd like to do is make a new legislation, new law that demands that all politicians need to live in areas like Death Valley that are below sea level. That should be a new law we put out there, you know? Exactly. And then they can deal with whatever it is and the ramifications are there. So you're comfortable with the fact that most of our coast is not in jeopardy, like Virginia. I mentioned Virginia up front. There's that story there at Virginia Beach. It's not the problem they put out in that article?
Not at all. I was called in to testify before the New York City Council. These are the dozen or so people below the governor of New York. On the fact that they want to build a seawall around Manhattan Island to protect them from sea level rise. And I went on for an hour explaining that they have accurate records all around that area showing that sea level is not rising more than that 7 inches a century. And then they should protect themselves from storms in their subways. But the idea of a seawall around Manhattan is absurd. And the Civil Engineering Corps backed me up entirely, but they only want to scare people. You said it all. There's money in fear put forth by politicians.
Right. So when I talked up front about the carbon footprint and I made the leap, and it was a leap, and I said, well, don't we need this kind of thing to be able to have the green? Like I mentioned, that site Green Matters, and they talk about all of the doom and gloom in that one little paragraph I read up front, Jay. And it's kind of an oxymoron because we sort of need this to make it all happen, to make the cog in the wheels go forward here. But yet that's exactly, the argument is so bizarre because they're using that as the pivotal discussion point. What gives? What am I missing?
You're not missing anything. They will turn truth upside down if it benefits their ability to control power, to control civilization. I mean, if it worked for them, they'd say we're in jeopardy of losing gravity and floating off the earth. They will do anything insane. Right. And it seems the crazier the idea, the more they can get a percentage of the public to buy into it.
Yeah. You know, it really should not be lost on anybody when Jay just says here, the crazier the idea. And, you know, when you look around people today, you just look around at all of the crazy stuff going on in your life. And you know what I'm talking about here. But it gets more insane as we go. And then you have to think that there are other factors in play here. And it really is something Jay and I talk about all the time. The fight of good versus evil, Jay. It's a conversation I love to have, you know, and you love to have it as well, I know. But it's so true, isn't it, Jay? I mean, it always comes back to that axiom right there, doesn't it? You know,
absolutely. And it's why I'm really looking forward to the next presidential election, because I think we'll have an opportunity to separate and define good and evil. I can't say for sure how it's going to work out, but what I can say is the public is going to show their colors, which side they're on.
Interesting. Boy, you are always, you always put it in perspective for me. I'll have to tell you, no matter what the situation is, you always put it in perspective. Let's get another gentleman on here and see if he can put it in perspective as well, because I have another angle I want to throw at this. And this is, again, welcome on here, Terry Ciccone here. And so, Terry, here's something else that I find very, very confusing I want to ask you about here. And then we'll get back to Jay, get him to opine. And that's this. I mentioned the confusion of CO2 with the pollution. I talked about green. I talked about, because I've been taught now or trained that we need all of this to be able to have the beautiful planet we enjoy. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have common sense, which is pick up litter out of the streets, don't pollute your oceans, don't do stupid stuff. And this to me is just back to the school of common sense that I graduate from every day. And just basic things, take care of the planet, that we all need to do. I mean, that should transcend political aisles and parties and everything. But here's the thing. I started to look in a lot of the argument that folks like you and Jay on this side of the conversation, here's what I think where the left succeeds. And I want you to argue this point with me, because I don't know if I'm right or wrong here, but here's what it is. It seems to me that the right always argues back about, well, but hold on now. How much carbon dioxide is too much carbon dioxide? How much, what about that carbon footprint and the damage? We always, in other words, we sort of bite the bait, the bullet there, if you will. And we sort of go down the rabbit hole rather than say, you know what? I don't want to talk to you about that because it doesn't damn well matter because we got to have X. So let me give you an example here. So look, I looked up here the five countries that produce the most carbon dioxide, which is an argument that we would have. And Jay and I talked about this probably before on air. I'm sure we have, because it always comes up as the argument on the right that we feed back to them. I said, well, China does more than we do, like almost twice as much. But why are we going there and having this argument? Because if I look right down the list right now, let me educate everybody and tell them, Terry, Jay, it is this. China, from what I have here, it's 9.8 billion metric tons in 2017, for instance, here. The U.S. was 5.3 billion metric. So we're just almost half of that of China here. I mean, China just eats this stuff at breakfast, lunch, dinner, and everything else. That's why you can't breathe in their cities. I mean, there is a tip in line to some of this stuff where you can't even breathe because the pollution's so bad. That's a different animal. That's probably China. But then you get in India, it's 2.5 billion. The Russian Federation, 1.7. Japan, 1.2, and there's the top five right there, countries that produce the most carbon dioxide. But really, Terry, why do we give a darn? Why do we care what kind of carbon dioxide they're producing or not producing if we need this to evolve?
Well, because we don't know and don't understand what the issue is. And I think we have done an absolutely poor job in educating the general public. As Jay has mentioned, there's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of prestige to be had.
Power, he was saying power, yeah. In fact, I think we should start a franchise, Terry, and sell franchises.
Absolutely. And the reason why they haven't solved the sinking land problem in Virginia Beach is because the right amount of money hasn't found the right pockets. Once they get that fixed, a wall will go up of some kind, or some dredging, or some bridge, or whatever. It will be monetized.
But why is that happening? Now, Jay had said a moment ago here, let's explore that a moment, please, before we leave Virginia Beach as an example. And you just said the wall up or the dredging or whatever. Okay, got it. But if everything is good in paradise here, Jay, you had commented earlier that there really isn't a problem. But if you're saying that, Terry, now, is there a problem or isn't there a problem in Virginia Beach, please?
There is not. The land has been under constant erosion by the wind and the waves and the currents.
Okay.
Sometimes the sand gets pushed to the north and sometimes to the south, and that's a totally natural event. We have that problem over here in Lido Beach all the time. It's one of the prices that you pay for being next to the water.
Right. There are circumstances always in play. I mean,
yeah. And I owned a beautiful condo right on the water at Lido Key.
Right.
And every few years, we'd have to bring in the bulldozers.
That's it.
And the dredgers to reshuffle the sand to where we want it, instead of the natural process, which just seems to push it wherever it wants.
And you pay more for your house insurance and all that,
don't
you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't want to pay for your house insurance, Terry. I'm sorry. I like you and all, but I don't want to pay for it.
Then you shouldn't.
Yeah. All right. So, Jay, these countries, again, this list of countries I mentioned, I think this is a serious question I'm asking here now about when we talk about producing the most carbon dioxide. Why do we have that discussion, that debate, that argument with this group of people, we'll say, on the far left? Why do we even have it? Because I've seen a lot of the times when you get into these conferences, Jay, these seminars, these exposés, and you start saying, okay, but it's not as much as you think, and it's not this, and we're only half of that, and we're three times over to remove two and divide by six, and see, we're far better off than China, even. Why do we even have that conversation? Aren't we doing ourselves harm by even having the conversation?
We are, Malcolm, and you have laid it out beautifully. Let me just make a couple points.
Wow.
One, let's separate carbon dioxide from pollution.
Okay.
China has a lot of air pollution. It has nothing to do with carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is not a pollutant, but EPA and the left got the Supreme Court to allow EPA to call it a pollutant. So that is a major area. It is not a pollutant.
Wow.
And pollution and carbon dioxide are two different things. Now, you have laid out a problem that I have written about recently, and I call it the harm of the lukewarmers. You have to understand that while there are many scientists who understand your position and my position, that we need carbon dioxide on the planet, and that it is not a problem, and that global warming is not a problem, who make a living proving that it's not a problem by showing how small it is. In fact, it's zero. The increase in the emissions of carbon dioxide the world over are a zero problem. But a lot of scientists make their living showing it's not a big problem, it's not a little problem, but it's there. And so they have their own models, their own mathematical equation to show how little carbon dioxide impacts the temperature, the thermostat of our planet. In fact, it's zero. But if they all agreed with me, they wouldn't have anything to do in this particular area of their scientific endeavor.
Now, Terry, you hear Jay there. When I first met Jay and he started saying what he just said, and he said it in a different context, what I'm trying to do is flush it out now, really, and get it out here. Because, again, back to common sense, and this is me talking now, my own math that I've done. This is not through any engineer or scientist or some person that knows this stuff or you studied it. This is just little old me. And I've got to this point now where I'm not understanding the argument and the discussion anymore. But Jay used to say what he would say early on when I first met him about zero. And I would think, well, this man has got to be out of his mind because he keeps saying that, but yet we keep debating it. So he must just be using that as a dramatic point. It can't be accurate, obviously. So Terry, help me out here now because Jay says it again. Is it accurate? Isn't it accurate? Tell me.
It's accurate. The question is, how many decimal points do you want to go out to say it's significant? You know, 0.0 is zero. 0.005 is still zero in terms of being able to control the climate. But I look at it from a totally different perspective, Malcolm.
Okay. Okay.
If somebody tells me, oh my goodness, you know, CO2 went up by 40% in just the last 50 years. It's all the way up to 400 parts per million.
Right.
I say to them, well, wake me up when it gets to 800, because I'm going to be a lot happier to have it at 800 than at 400. Hmm. In fact, it wasn't that long ago that NASA put out a very astonishing paper.
Yeah.
And that is... it says that by monitoring the plant growth mm-hmm. of the earth, that in the last 35 or 40 years, the planet has greened by
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen it, Terry.
In other words, the deserts are shrinking. And that's primarily because of low, we've been in a CO2 deficit for so long.
Wow.
And even more remarkable than that, when CO2 is at, pick a number, 500, all okay.
right?
At 500, it's going to consume a small fraction of the water so that the plants can grow into the what we would consider desert areas. So at a high level of CO2, the whole planet becomes greener. More plants flourish. And it needs less water. You know, there's a big debate about the water from Colorado River no longer reaching the Pacific Ocean. Well, it wouldn't need all that irrigation if CO2 was, say, at 600 level, because they would not need as much water for irrigation.
Yeah.
So you get a double benefit from increasing CO2. So if somebody wants me to trivialize the harm done by increasing CO2, no, I turn it right back on his face and say, no, I want to double it because it's good for the planet.
See, I think we're onto something big. We're onto something really, really important here. And because this to me is the game changer argument right here. I would love to be able to create the next ad campaign, the next marketing campaign, Jay, for this argument of climate change, because what Terry was just putting out there as well and saying, well, I would argue back, say, well, wake me up, or like when the left screams their hair is on fire and says, oh my God, do you see what's happened in the last 50 years? So instead of the right coming back, and here's what the right always does. They always come back and say, well, no, it's not that bad. We're still better than this one. Remove three, carry over two, six under, and here we are. We're far better than China. Always comes up the argument, in fact, that argument has come up before on my program when we've had other scientists on with us, Jay, and other experts who've argued this. And it actually confuses my simple mind here of common sense that I have. And I get confused, like, is it a problem or isn't it a problem? So actually, the campaign needs to be terrific. That's the answer we need to have back. Great, let's double it and we'll be better off for it. Things will be greener, we'll breathe better, everybody's happy. But Jay, they're not having that conversation. I'm telling you, we need to run the next global advertising campaign to rebuke this climate change, global warming, sky is falling minutia campaign that's out there.
Malcolm, you have laid out the argument better than I've heard anyone else do it. It's very like, we know that the Republicans in Congress do an absolute horrible job in debating the liberal Democrats. Well, it's the same in climate change. The people who are really good scientists, who really understand, they do just what you say. They say, well, we're not putting out much carbon dioxide, and it really doesn't matter much. I have been on the bandwagon of explaining zero, and Terry really explained it better. 0.0 is zero, but so is 0.0005 is 0.2. We call that a default, the closest default number to describe the impact of carbon dioxide on the Earth's temperature is definitely zero. But Terry's argument is better than mine. Instead of arguing, there used to be a thing when I was a kid, people would argue how many angels would fit on the head of a pin. Well, that's very similar to the argument about, well, how little impact does carbon dioxide have on the temperature of the Earth? Terry immediately turns it around and right in their face explains, we want more carbon dioxide. It's all positive. I think he's absolutely right. That's the position we should be taking. And it's not easy, but it's doable, because we probably could turn the people arguing how little it is into being positive warriors saying, hey, we want more of it.
That's exactly it. And we've just hit so much right here in the program. We'll come back to that pollution China thing in a little bit as well, folks, as we continue on here. But I'll tell you what, you're learning a great deal here, because you're understanding what's behind the argument. It's that people sometimes have underlying missions, like the DiCaprio fellow I was talking about here, you know? I mean, and I can make no boast of, I don't begrudge anybody to do well in their life. I love it. It's called capitalism. It's a beautiful thing, you see? But just don't push your ideologies, your thoughts, and your BS onto me, please. You want to take your jets and fly them? Fly them. Then shut the hell up when you get off the jet, please, okay? I don't want to hear what your opinion is about any of it. Thank you very much. But that doesn't apply to Hollywood, does it, or those people there? They are a different breed unto their own. It is a different species of the human experiment, for sure. It's the best I can tell you. You know, I'm going to be moderating and hosting a climate change, I don't know what you want to call it, debate, conversation, expose, worldwide phenomenon, maybe, down in Miami. I think they're still getting the date here in the months ahead, but it'll be just after the election, I believe. And Dr. Jay Lehrer, in fact, will be on the panel there. And I'm just thinking, as we're having this conversation today, so much of the common sense we're discussing right now will probably come out. You can see that's where I'm going to go with some of this. Trying to educate people just on basic needs and understanding. But let me just take a quick moment as we pause a moment and just remind you all, we're thrilled that you're here with me on the journey on the Voice of a Nation. Don't forget to take care of you, people. It's called the health of your cells. It's something I'm most concerned with. I started taking Healthy Cell just about 2.5 years ago. Ran across this product. I loved it. I contacted them. They are now advertisers, have been for the last couple, 3 years now on the platform here. But the thing is, a lot of the vitamins people take out there do nothing to extend their life or to help them in some capacity. The way we age and how we age always comes back to the life of our cells. Healthy cells mean that you live a longer time and in a healthier pace. That's important. Just cheap old multivitamins don't accomplish that, people. So you have to get something that gets in and conditions your cells. That's why I take Healthy Cell. So the point here is that healthycell.com/outloud. Here's how you get 20% off your first order. You can take, there's multiple products. I mean, I take 2 supplements in the morning, 2 at night. Very easy to do. Nothing to it, people. They have a gel as well if you don't like pills. There's other great products. They have a sleep gel product, and they're an amazing company. I just love them very much. But again, you'll find the links also right on the front page at americaoutloud.com, and you'll see the message there for 20% off. Have to use the OutLoud code, though, or you don't get that, okay? So that's how you do that, people. And again, let's all stay healthy so we can continue on fighting with the left over climate change. Oh, just loving it here. Stay right there, friends. We'll pause and be back with you in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at Liberty@AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty@AmericaOutLoud.com.
You've learned a lot here today already. I mean, we've unraveled some of the mystery behind a lot of this, and we still have more to go and more to talk about here. I want to bring it back to this interesting book, and the title of it was quite fascinating, that Terry, you put together here, and it's called A Hitchhiker's Journey Through Climate Change. Now, when you say hitchhiker, when I read that title, just take it, you know, as it is verbatim here, does that mean you were a hitchhiker in your life? And what did you do for a living then?
Well, I was a hitchhiker my entire life. I kept asking silly questions like why, and when I didn't like the answers I got, I had to go check it out for myself. And it's what I did working for a major corporation that allowed me the freedom to ask the silly question of why. I was never interested in asking the question how, because that's not as interesting. So you talk about the China. I remember the pollution in China in 1979.
Right.
Long before there was a carbon dioxide problem. And so my entire life, basically, I spent it mostly in the international market. All of it involved with turbines and generators and various jet engines.
Well, an engineer. You're an engineer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But why the book at this point? Why write a book about climate change?
Well, first of all, I had never written a book.
And this was your first. This was your first parade here.
Sure.
Wow. And you took a topic like climate change.
Yeah, yeah. It started out as a joke between myself and a few friends of mine. Mm-hmm. They asked me my opinion on climate change, and I started to voice it. And this gentleman said to me, "Well, you're not a climate scientist. You're not. You don't know what you're talking about." And I was about to lunge at him verbally, physically, and then I caught myself halfway through the air, and I said, you know, you're absolutely right, and I'm going to fix that problem. And it took me roughly 2 years and a lot of help from Jay, and the science is not very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're bold enough to ask the questions and find ready to accept answers.
Well, as an engineer, the word why, that three-letter word, is significant, isn't it, Terry? I mean,
It's the single most important word in the dictionary.
God, I love this. I love this stuff, what you're talking about here, because I think a lot of people get lost on that simple three-letter word, how it can change the whole conversation. Let me ask to Jay something else here. Jay, on the book that Terry's talking about here as well, when you, he was just giving credit to you, helping him do it, but what's the point or the mission about the journey through climate change that Terry talks about? What do you get out of the book?
Well, Terry came to me a couple of years ago asking for advice and working on the book. And I was excited because his goal was to explain everything in the very simplest of terms. Mm. So the cover of the book, you know, shows a youthful girl on her hitchhiking journey. And so it just kind of tells you that in this book, you can find answers in very plain English. And anytime it gets too complicated, Terry would more or less give cliff notes to give you the general idea, and you can skip along on your journey. And I was just fascinated with his ability to make the complex simple, because that's kind of the way I am. I think of, when I talk to Terry and read his writing, I think he's a genius. I've always thought of myself as someone of average intelligence who worked very hard to learn things, but that made me a really good teacher. Because the same way Michael Jordan was a terrible basketball coach because everything came too easy to him. I'm a good teacher because I've had to work hard to learn things, and I get it down to the absolute simplest level of arithmetic. And the question why that he asked is the same. I've been asking why all my life, and it kind of drives my wife crazy, because no matter where I am, I'm asking questions. I have an insatiable desire to learn. And that's what the Hitchhiker's Journey Through Climate Change answers, that thirst for knowledge.
Well, aren't some of the kids when you're growing up, or some of those kids that can be annoying as hell, Jay, aren't those the kids that always ask why? And they grow up to be amazing people, I'm suggesting.
Absolutely. Right? They're the troublemakers in every teacher's class.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And those are the kids that would say why, or, you know, that's it, Terry. Those are the kids that would drive you crazy, more or less, but they are the most brilliant minded. The problem is a lot of society today holds those kids back, and they look at them as being, or they put some sort of diagnosis on them, Terry, like ADHD, yeah. Right? I mean, of some sort, yeah? And they diagnose them right away, because they're inquisitive. I was one of those inquisitive kids. I remember being in a science classroom in my seventh grade, Terry, I will share with you. My science teacher, his name, a gentleman at the time, teacher was Mr. Gambardella. Still remember his name today in seventh grade, Mr. Gambardella. And we were dissecting frogs, Terry, in the classroom, right? And of course, Malcolm, being the entertainer as he is, decided to throw the frog legs around the room. Well, Mr. Gambardella was not happy with little Malcolm in the middle, and he took me over. Now, the school was about four stories, and we were on the third story, I believe it was, in the seventh grade. He took me over to the window with the whole class looking, grabbed me by the ankles, and put me outside the window, which was just over a highway, by the way, right there driving by. The school was right on the side of the highway. They're like right on it. And he put me out there, shook me by the ankle, said, "You little," I won't tell you adjectives he used, but "you little, you will not be throwing those frogs," by asking that, throwing them and asking why, the inquisitive mind. So when people ask me there, "What kind of a kid were you in school?" That would explain a lot, Terry, huh? Right? I love that story, but it is so accurate and true, and that really happened. But it is the inquisitive kids is the point, the ones who kind of are the innovators. They become the inspirators, the innovators. But a lot of people today, adults, they sort of keep saying no to them, like no, or they reprimand the kids. And I think that's what's turning off a lot of the youth and society. They're not as inquisitive maybe anymore, because you keep telling little Johnny, no, it's bad for you. It's not a good thing, Terry.
You're absolutely right. And the other major recurring theme in the book is no fear.
No fear.
And that's what holds a lot of people back. It shuts people up.
That's right.
Prevents them from asking any question, never mind the why question. So that's the thing I really try to stress the most is no fear and have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to engage in a little bit of self-deprecation.
Well, these are good lessons in life we're speaking about right now.
And I mean, we're not talking about climate change. We're not talking about CO2. We're talking about life.
That's right.
Because what we do or don't do both have consequences. Mm-hmm. There might be some brilliant future engineer in some class, and he's been labeled by somebody, and then he starts living the label instead of exploring all the things that he can be. And so I think those are the three main messages in the book.
Okay.
Don't
all right.
Be guided by fear. Mm-hmm. Have a sense of humor, mm-hmm. and show the humility to ask simple questions,
simple questions.
Then insist on simple, understandable answers.
Now, if we could do that for all the arguments that we're dealing with now in society today, we could probably solve most of the problems, actually.
Absolutely.
But people are, they are fearful. They're not fearless. And we need to become more fearless and understand that the consequences are what they are. But fearless is a better way to live your life. But I believe that's the case. This whole mix-up now of pollution and back to the carbon footprint and the carbon emissions that we're talking about here. Let's take, for instance, China as the perfect case here, because I mentioned up front the argument the right always comes back with, which were those countries, the five countries that produced the most carbon dioxide. And the right would say, okay, and your point is, that should be the answer back to that, not to start to argue who's got less or more or what have you. We've already defined that. I got that part. But Jay, educate us a little bit about, when we talk about being good stewards and taking care of the planet, which everybody should do, and I firmly believe that. Listen, I taught my kids when they were really young to pick up the trash from the street, to take care of our planet, to do simple things that would make the place a better place for other people. That is just pure common sense to me that was taught to me when I was a kid. And so I like to pass that information on to folks. But this whole thing about pollution, when you see the mix-up you identified early on in the program that I didn't have a chance to explore with you, why that's different, why people confuse the polluted cities of China with the carbon emissions and the carbon footprint we're talking about. Clear that up for us, please.
Well, China is a great industrial nation today with factories everywhere. And these factories emit from their smokestacks a wide variety of chemicals that are not healthy. And they need to be cleaned up. Their air pollution in many areas of China where I've traveled, they all wear the masks that people are wearing today because of the virus. They wear masks because there is so much in the air that is unhealthy for them, just like the coronavirus is unhealthy. Carbon dioxide is not one of them. And the left has painted carbon dioxide. They never use the correct chemical term, carbon dioxide. They use carbon because everybody thinks of carbon as soot, as coal black. It's a negative thing. We're not ever talking about a carbon footprint. We're talking about a carbon dioxide footprint. But if they use that term, there would not be as much fear. The carbon dioxide put out in China has no negative impact whatsoever, but they have many, many chemicals that come out of their smokestacks that are hazardous to health.
Right.
Now, they're doing better in the last 10 years. We've cleaned up our air like no other country in the world. Mm-hmm. We were doing it voluntarily. Then we formed an EPA, and for 10 years, we passed a bunch of legislation that I was involved with that really did an amazing job making this the best environment of any country in the world. But then the left took over and they made things that were not bad to look bad. And really it's just been a power grab.
Yeah. The power grab is they put everything into the same argument. Everything's in the same argument today. So it's like, let's just put it all in there, including the smokestacks, as you say, in general, pollution and warfare has all been put in there. Terry, last point here with you is you talk about the climate change social wars and you talk about the victims. We're talking about the victims here now when I address third world countries and some of the poorest of people. Are those not the victims of this?
Yeah, the lower you go down the economic ladder, the more and more the pain increases. For example, the World Bank, they have stopped allowing some of these third world countries from utilizing diesel generators or small, very inexpensive power plants so that they can get some basic electricity. Mm-hmm. Because how can you have a hospital? How can you have a fire department? How can you have a refrigerator? How can you store and purify your food if you don't have the most basic level of electricity? And some great progress was being made for a number of decades. But then all of a sudden, the banks, especially led by the United Nations, have imposed the requirement that they can only use the money the grants, the low interest loans, to build renewable energy. Well, how are you going to run a hospital if you don't have reliable, continuous, affordable power?
And now you're starting to restrict people, and what you're
killing people. Never mind restricting them.
There you go. I mean, no, you're right. You're right there. If I was to make the statement that we need more carbon emissions, what would you say, Terry?
Yes, I'll take all I can get.
Oh,
because
wow.
Because carbon is the very element of life. What do you need for life on this planet? You need sunlight, you need carbon dioxide, water, and a few little trace elements out of the soil.
God, spoken just like an engineer somehow.
The basis of all life on Earth,
yeah.
The basis for all life in the sea. It's the bottom of the bottom.
Wow. Terry, if I did not know any better, I would say you have a training as an engineer somewhere, or a future even maybe as an engineer. Jay, so if I make that statement that we need more carbon emissions, you say same thing or different?
Absolutely the same thing. And really, Terry's comments on this program with you are going to change my approach. I'm going to be talking a lot less in the future about the fact that carbon dioxide has zero impact on the temperature of the planet, and more of what Terry says is, wow, we are so lucky to have what we have. We didn't have much really any longer before World War II. Thank goodness we're up to 400, and I hope my kids will experience 800.
Wow, what a profound statement to make. I have to tell you, this has been amazing, people, just absolutely amazing. And I, for one, believe we just had, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most brilliant conversations about the world of climate change or global warming or the sky has fallen, whatever particular area you want to put that under. I believe we just had an amazing talk. We all learned something today. I did as well. I know you had to out there. And Jay just said he learned plenty himself. And it looks like he'll have to say in the future that I made an impact on him somehow. So, geez, look at that there. How do you like that, Jay? That'll have to be your take. Yeah, I learned that from Malcolm. And when Jay says earlier, average intelligence, don't let him kid you, people. The man is absolutely brilliant. Terry knows that as much as I do, and as much as you all out there know that as well. It's always good to have Dr. Jay Lehrer on the program here. He is a friend and just a great human being, and a wonderful person to have on the journey here at America Out Loud as one of our experts. It's one of the things, it's probably the biggest thing I love about all of this, people on America Out Loud, is the people I get to play with. And the people who become experts on our platform are truly some of the most remarkable people on the planet, and it's just a blessing. That's all I can tell you. It's a great takeaway always here. Tremendous thank you also to Terry Ciccone, and the book is A Hitchhiker's Journey Through Climate Change. Now, if you just go to the America Out Loud bookstore, the link is on the nav bar right there at AmericaOutLoud.com. So if you go there right now, as I'm doing right this moment, and you click the bookstore, as I'm doing right now as we speak, okay? And you go to the search bar, and you maybe type in the word, let's just type in hitchhiker here, since that's an easy word to spell. And if you do that, guess what comes up? Immediately, A Hitchhiker's Journey Through Climate Change, all you need to know about climate change, what we're afraid to learn and laugh at. Terry did say earlier that we got to learn to laugh in our life to really make it complete, right? That's what this is all about. Friends, thank you for taking your time here, being part of the mission here with us to educate folks and educate America and the world as to what the out loud truth is. Thank you, as always, for being here. It's time to get involved and get loud.